Welcome to episode one of Team Brit Talks. Team Brit aims to be the first all-disabled team to race in the Le Mans 24-hour and supports people with physical and psychological challenges in accessing motorsport through its racing academy. On the show, we'll be talking all things Team Brit, meeting the drivers, crew, friends and sponsors, and discussing the issues at the centre of inclusion in motorsport. I'm Lucy Sheehan, part of the team management, and today I have the pleasure of talking to driver Bobby Trundley. 21-year-old Bobby is our most experienced racer and drives our Aston Martin GT4 V8 Vantage. Bobby was diagnosed with severe autism when he was seven. His early years and time at school were full of challenge for him and his family because of the impact of the condition. When he was 10, he was invited to attend a birthday party at a go-karting track, and from that moment, motorsport changed his life. He became a 5-times karting champion, won numerous awards, and joined Team Brit in 2019. He won 4 out of 5 races in his first year with the team and received various accolades last year in the Brit Car Endurance Championship, securing Driver of the Day and Fastest Lap Awards. Hello, Bobby.
Hello, how are you, Lucy?
I'm really well, thanks. How are you? I expect you're a bit tired after a day at Silverstone with the team yesterday.
I wouldn't say I was that tired. Unfortunately, I didn't go out in the car, but any cars, because the Aston's still currently being rebuilt. But it was a nice day. Nice day out to see the guys testing, so I enjoyed
it. Good to see everyone again after so long, everyone being apart, I bet.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's the main thing.
That's good. Well, this week is Autism Awareness Week, so I thought it'd be really interesting to chat to you about autism, what it means to you, and why you think it's important for people to understand exactly what it is. I write a lot about you when promoting the team, as you know, and I often quote the fact that you were diagnosed when you were 7. Can you remember much about those earlier years and whether you were conscious of the fact that you had a condition that made life difficult?
I can remember some parts. I can mainly remember when I got involved in karting to the extent while I was in secondary school. That's when it really hit. Early years, it didn't really affect that much up until I think the end of primary, when people start to realise that you are a little bit different to other people, for me especially. And when I got diagnosed, I don't really remember that. All I remember really is from secondary school onwards, obviously when I first got in the cart to where it was hell, really. So, yeah.
And so, you know, you said from that primary school age, you said that was the kind of time when maybe you were made to feel different. So what sort of, can you remember what that was like? So what was school a challenge? And did you find that friends and teachers reacted to you in a different way to they did other people? Or, you know, what do you remember about that?
Well, in primary school, I don't think it really matters as much because obviously you're at a younger age where you're still developing as a person. So I don't think it really had that much issues. I did have a lot of friends in primary school, but after year 6, when I went into year 7, secondary school or high school, I don't know what it's in America, like high school or whatever, it changed massively. So it's mainly like, the school I went to, I kept on getting bullied a lot because I did things differently. People used to say like stuff to me about, "Oh, you're in the support unit. You have to have a TA with you," which I had to. All that all that type of stuff, you know. And teachers just told me to get on with it. You know, it's part of life, which it isn't in the school terms. Really, it's bullying, but obviously everyone's young and they do not understand the differences in people at that age, you know, teenage aged. So I had to grow up with that. And the only time when really that people started to understand me was when I was in year 11, when I was doing the karting stuff with Daytona and D-Max in 2014-15. So it's a bit annoying about that, but yeah,
and did people speak openly to you about it? Would you talk to people about the fact that, yeah, I am autistic, I have got autism? Or was that something that was an open conversation or not?
No, not at all. I was really shy. I couldn't look people in the eye. I still can't to this day. I always look up to the sky or ceiling and wonder what manufacturer light bulb something is. But seriously, on a serious note, I struggled quite a bit. I couldn't really open up to people as such, and people knew there was something wrong, but they they just kept taking the mick out of me, really. Not the teachers. They started to understand in primary. Obviously, when I moved to college, everything changed completely because everyone's more older and understanding. But yeah, it was a bit rough in secondary, I'll be honest.
You know, in terms of day-to-day schooling and learning, was standard learning difficult for you? And if so, you know, what was that like day-to-day?
Are we talking about in secondary school?
Yes, well, whichever you can remember, really. Did you feel that it was harder for you to do the standard classes that people around you were doing? Or was it something that, because, you know, you're a really intelligent guy, you know, how was day-to-day life at school?
I did do the standard classes, obviously, but sometimes I had to do some extra classes, or I have to do the classes outside of the class. I think it was English I had an issue with. Maths, I think. Yeah, they pulled me out of maths and I had to do an extra half-hour maths sessions instead of doing the full hour because I struggled a lot in that. But that changed completely in secondary school. Not secondary school, college before and all that. But yeah, I struggled in secondary school completely. I didn't even, believe it or not, I got a D in English and I failed maths quite badly in my exam. So it shows really that I struggled a lot in school with the environment and just, yeah.
Okay, so we talk about that environment where, you know, you sound like you have a bit of a mixed memories or mixed opinions of how that time was, because sometimes it was simply just the way life was. Other times you felt like, you know, there was a struggle. But then you discovered karting and, you know, we know that you went to this karting party, and actually at the time when you arrived, and I don't know how much you remember because you were 10, but you actually didn't want to do it, did you, Bobby?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. I ran out of the building screaming the place down. The thing is with all autism for me, when I first went in that environment, I didn't like the crowd of people, the smell, the noise as well. All of that sends so much information to my brain. Autistic people usually have, we sense stuff a lot more. Our senses are more probably overloaded, and we have a sensory overload, and that's what happened. So I literally ran out the building crying my eyes out. I was afraid. I was scared. The guys down at the kart track, it's a shame the place is closed now, but they managed to talk me in while everyone was having their lunchtime break. And when I put the helmet on for the first time and I got in the kart, I just felt calm. It was just weird. About 20 minutes beforehand, I was running out the building, crying my eyes out, panicking. And then when I got the helmet on and sat in the car and I went out on track, I was just like, wow, this is incredible. I feel in control. And it was the first time I felt in control of something. And I'd loved it. And believe it or not, they had a fun race at the end of the party and I won it. That was my first race win. And yeah, and it pretty much all took off from there.
And you've never looked back.
Well, yeah, I haven't at all. No.
It's such a great story, and you know, to hear that's how you discovered what is now your passion is really quite incredible. And you know, it does show people that sometimes you have to go out of your comfort zone to find your way. So you went on and you did a lot of karting, a lot of it through Daytona Motorsport, who I know have been great supporters of you over the years. And you went on to become, you know, a 5-time champion, which is incredible. So when you started racing at that level, again, were people aware that you were autistic? Was it something that even had to be addressed in any way, or were you just another racer?
I was just another racer, really. Before I got involved with Daytona properly, I mean, I did do their in-car championships through 2012 and stuff. But in the meantime, between that, I did owner-driver, which is annoying, really, in some respects, because in owner-driver, people, if you have the biggest pocket of cash, I'm not from a wealthy background at all. We're not, you know. And it was just whoever had the money, people would buy new engines. They go, oh, I got a qualifying engine. No, I got a race engine. I got a practice engine. How many engines do you need, man? And then you got all the people who buy chassis every 2 meetings. It's ridiculous. And so then through that, and then had a year break in 2013, and then I got involved in Daytona D-Max. I was one of the first, at the time I was 14, in 2014, this is when it all started, at Will Mill. They invited me down. Well, they didn't invite me. We had to get permission because of my age. Because I had an MSA license, I was able to compete in DMAX at 14. Usually you have to be 16, but because I had a race license at the time. And I managed to do very well because I did my first endurance race up against top drivers like in DMAX. You got the legend that is Joe Holmes, who's dominating Club 100 as well this last season. He just walked all over everyone. And certain people like James Pratt as well back in the day. And I held onto their coattails for the hour race and came third.
Wow. And
it pretty much all kicked off from there. 2014, I also did a Ginetta Junior Scholarship, which I came sixth out of 60 people in the final. But there was probably like thousands of people who got in, who entered, but I was one of the lucky ones. And yeah, it pretty much took off from there. From 2014 to 2018, I did DMAX and some other karting stuff. And yeah, racked up a lot of championships and five championships, three endurance races once, which is 15-minute practice qualifying to an hour race, and two heats championships, which is three heats, 7-minute heats, and a final, which is 11 minutes. So,
and now you're in an Aston Martin.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's only been third year with the team now.
And third year, it is.
And the second, and the last year, after just a year in like the old BMW 116s the team used to have, jump up to the Aston Martin instantly. And that's a big step. And I never thought I would be racing a car now. Not only am I in a race car, I'm racing an Aston Martin GT4 car. It's unbelievable. I just can't believe it. I'm in the right place at the right time, I've got to say.
Oh, I don't think luck has got much to do with it, Bobby. I think it's completely down to who you are and the skill that you've clearly got. And I mean, would you say that your autism is a benefit when it comes to racing? You know, how do you feel that part of your brain, your mind, and the way that you behave translates onto the racetrack?
Well, I think it, in some ways, off the track, I've learned to develop it through the team. So I'm just going to change this question a little bit. So off the track, before I joined the team, I was a lot shy. You know this, Lucy. I was shy. I didn't speak that much, but I developed, got confident, and the team brought me out of my shell and made me who I am today. But off the track, I still have my moments. You know, sometimes I struggle with too much information sometimes and stuff. But when I'm behind the wheel, I think my autism's like a weapon, a mass weapon. for me, I'm able to. So, for example, let's talk about Brands Hatch. Let's say you're going down into turn one, which is Paddock Hill, and obviously you've got the undulations and the camber and the corner aspect. Normal drivers probably just be like corner, brake, turn in. Where I'm able to, I don't know how, but I'm able to analyse a bit more detail. So I'm able to see, right, there's more grip on this line than this line, or there's a more tyre mark. Maybe if I calculate how much more input I can put in, I might be able to go around quicker, maybe a little bit less to get a nicer run out the corner. Calculate it to perfection, and that's probably where I'm able to gain some time against other drivers, and also overtaking moves I'm able to analyze and probably react quicker than other people just by like defending into Paddock Hill, for example. Someone's defending, I'm going to go, right, I might be able to go around the head on the outside and try and get the cut back going down the hill. Yeah, my head, I think for me there, it's just like I'm able to register stuff a lot quicker.
Yeah, and I always find it really interesting when I come to a race or a test session, and you know, I'm watching you guys, you know, at work, coming in and out of your stints, and you're all huddled together when you could be close to each other, of course, watching footage of your laps and you're all helping each other. And, you know, you, I have seen that you try and help your teammates with that, don't you? Because you've clearly got something in that kind of analytical part of your mind where you can help people improve. Is that something that you've enjoyed doing with the team?
Of course. I mean, I want the team to do well, and I want the guys to do well, you know. I love everyone in the team. I love Andy. I love Matty. I love Aaron. I love Luke. I love everyone, even the mechanics, Al, Dean, JJ, even the apprentice, Phil. God help us. Phil's all right. He's a lovely lad. The team, I just want the team to do well, and I would help out any way I can with the drivability and stuff. I mean, I've been helping a lot. Aaron and I have been getting coaching a little bit from Max Coates and Abby Eaton a bit. But I help Aaron out with certain aspects, like letting him know how the car feels and where he can go improve as well. And it works. I just want us to do well as a team and bring in the brilliant results. Hopefully we can pull even better results than what we did last year. So,
brilliant. I hope so too. And I have every confidence in you all and just can't wait to see you getting back out there again. So just to finish then, Bobby, if you could tell the young 10-year-old Bobby, who, you know, has just discovered karting and has been dealing with all of the challenges of autism and what that meant at school and at home, if you could tell him something now, what would it be?
Well, the 10-year-old me, that's an interesting one, actually. I haven't thought about that in that person. I'd say follow your dreams and don't be too scared of certain environments. Yes, it's okay to be scared, but use that fear as a positive and challenge yourself and push your boundaries. If I didn't do that, I wouldn't be where I am today and put up with people. Just keep your head down and just ignore what other people say and do you. That's what I've done, and it's played out in the big long run for me. I'm not very good at this, am I?
Bobby, you're brilliant. That was a perfect answer. And I think you've articulated it really well. And wow, we're really glad that you got in the cart that day. We're really glad that you met our former driver, Warren, and he told you all about us, because we certainly wouldn't be the team we are without you in it. So
thank you.
And I hope that listening to this will help and inspire other people who are affected by autism in any way, because that's obviously what Autism Awareness Week is all about. So let's hope, Bobby, that your story continues to inspire people in the way that we know it does.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's supported me on my journey as well. You guys are amazing, and hopefully I can give something back to the autism community and just help everyone. So thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Bobby. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the track at Silverstone in April.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Bobby.
Cheers.